Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Winston. And again, thank you to Martin and the team for allowing me to share some thoughts with you this morning on mission-shaped living on this Epiphany Sunday as we remember Christ's baptism. By way of background, for those of you who do not know me, I'm originally a Lancashire lad, and I suppose you can tell that from the lilt in my voice and my accent. I come to be here via 6 years at Bristol University, an army career, and a civilian career with the oil company BP. And then I moved into consulting, working in the oil, gas and chemicals industry. And a lot of the time I spend, you know, in distant places of the world, and spend a lot of time on planes. And clearly at the moment, that is not possible. I also apologize in advance as we have two very excitable golden retrievers who love playing in the snow. We woke up to snow outside as well as a deep frost, and they just love it and they get very enthusiastic. So please forgive the barking in the background. As many of you know, I'm married to Carol, who's also a minister in the Church of England. And as Martin indicated, I'm in my second year at St. Augustine's Theological College. And I'm traveling on the 3-year ordination pathway. The last time some of you saw me when I gave a Dickensian style message in person, remember those days, at Pippin Jim's on the theme of treasure in heaven. Now, as a church community, you were looking at mission-shaped living program developed by John McKinley on the theme of being witnesses for Jesus in our everyday lives. The full program has 8 sessions. And last week you began with the theme being sent. This week it's my privilege to share with you some thoughts on the theme of confidence. If you have your Bibles to hand, it would be good to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. We will be jumping around the scriptures today as we explore this theme of confidence. Before restarting my ordination journey, I spent some time with Father James at St. John's Higham. You may be familiar with that church. Their tradition is high church, and I originally come from a Roman Catholic background, although my churchmanship experience is very broad. In preparation for the rigorous Church of England selection process, I was encouraged to meet ministers from different traditions, so I met with Father James a few times. Now, related to our theme this morning, one of the challenges he faces is reflected in his exhortation to his church community. And it goes something like this. When you sit here in church, and that of course can be digital or real, you are disciples. But when you go out the door into the world, into your homes, places of work and leisure, you are apostles. In this Corinthians verse, Paul reminds us of this fact, to be ambassadors for Christ. But as we know, for many, this is not straightforward, and hence our focus on mission-shaped living. I assure you that being an ambassador is no easy role, as our cousin can testify. In fact, our cousin has recently retired as British ambassador to North Korea. Clearly, some postings are more challenging than others, perhaps, but that is a discussion for another day. Today, we will explore the theme of confidence by looking at the events of the life of St. Peter and also the encounter of Jesus with the woman at the well. I'm afraid you'll have to forgive my love of icons and Veritas artwork, as a right-hand figure is called Pour Over Me by Sue Newman on the theme of a living water, key to the woman at the well narrative. As we begin with Peter, I do not intend to provide a detailed biography, but I'd like to think that we begin with a person of more humble beginnings who ends up making a big difference in the early development of Christianity. What is encouraging for us is that Peter's story is one that builds in confidence over time, even though it was a bumpy ride at times. When we encounter Peter in Luke chapter 5, if you'd like to turn to that passage, we find a frustrated Peter who'd been fishing all night without success and begrudgingly does what Jesus asked for, as Jesus had already borrowed his boat to provide a speaking platform for the people. As verses 6 and 7 tell us, the result of this obedience was miraculous, as the fish fill the nets to breaking point, so much so that other boats are needed to come and bring in the massive catch. We see Peter's response. "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." Jesus then invites Peter to put his old life behind and follow him. Peter experiences some amazing events during his time as a disciple of Jesus. In Matthew 16:16-18, we see that Peter recognizes Jesus for who he really is. As the scripture tells us, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." However, Peter experienced some real lows, as Luke 22, verse 54 reminds us, as Peter betrayed Jesus three times, just as Jesus had predicted. We read in verse 59, "About an hour later, another asserted, 'Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean.' Peter replied, 'I do not know what you're talking about.' Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him, 'Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times.' And he went outside and wept bitterly." After the resurrection and Pentecost, we find a spirit-inspired Peter, brimming with confidence as he addressed the assembled crowds in Jerusalem. You know, Acts chapter 2, verse 14 shows us a very confident Peter in action. "But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day.' Then, beginning in the words of the prophet Joel, he delivers a message to which many respond positively." We heard earlier in our reading today about Peter and John in the temple. In other parts of Acts, we find a fearless and confident Peter in front of the Sanhedrin. The book of Acts describes different situations where we encounter a confident Peter. In Acts 10, we find Peter raising Dorcas to life in Joppa, responding to the Holy Spirit's vision and traveling to Caesarea to bring the Gentile Cornelius to faith and baptism. This is before sharing his views regarding the bringing the good news to the Gentiles at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts 11 and his deliverance from prison in Acts 12. And as a message for us, Peter tells us in his own letter in 1 Peter 1, verse 6, if you want to look it up, and it's about how our faith needs refining. It states, In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though as it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. What we see in Peter's story is a gradual transformation and growth in confidence in sharing his faith, as well as responding to the prompting of the Holy Spirit. This confidence did not happen overnight. With that in mind, I want to share with you a story from the recent past that also demonstrates how people can grow in confidence to share their faith. Carol and I have been involved with Messy Church for many years, and we love it. In Carol's second curacy, she looked after St. Barnabas in Whitley, Reading. This was one of three churches, St. Agnes, St. Paul's, and St. Barnabas, under the overall leadership of Vernon Orr, who incidentally trained with Martin. One of Carol's responsibilities was to lead the team that ran Messy Church, which remains today a great way to reach families. We were very diverse in who turned up. We even had families from Pakistan and China, some with little English. Often we would find the children and grandchildren translating English into Mandarin for grandma, and it was great to see. We also had dads who came along to Messy Church who had never come along to a mainstream service. St. Barnabas was generally an elderly community, and services were high Anglican in nature, including the use of the Book of Common Prayer. When discussing Messy Church with the old ladies of the community, whom I refer to as our version of the Steel Magnolias, the ladies would often say that they could not do the witnessing bit, but they could support people like Carol, myself, and others who could. Of course, as this figure shows, Messy Church had the occasional guest from history to help tell the Bible story. However, over time, we found that the ladies in the kitchen also came out to share our fellowship meal at the end of the Messy Church service. They had so many tales to tell about growing up in Reading during the war, about the history of Reading, that families would engage in conversation. And through that, they began to share aspects of their faith stories. Over time, you can see that they grew in confidence to share their faith, even though to start with, they were very reticent and content to only stay in the background. They learned that their faith story was important and valued. In our gospel reading today, I wanted to focus on the final part of the encounter between Jesus and the woman at the well to avoid a review of the woman's backstory. I wanted to focus on the impact. If you turn to John chapter 4, verse 39 in your Bibles, you cannot help but feel the enthusiasm of the woman to share what for her was something very special. She has had a life-changing encounter with Jesus, and she wants everyone to know. Through her words, people come to spend time with Jesus and listen to what he has to say. More lives are transformed as a consequence. For us, it tells us that sometimes an instantaneous encounter with the Holy Spirit can inspire confidence to go out and make a difference. As we move towards the end of my message for you today, I wanted to leave you with another story, that I hope will prove helpful with respect to confidence and faith sharing. Sharing faith in the workplace is always a challenge. But there are ways of doing it, and in so doing, you can start to change the culture of a workplace or even the atmosphere. Now, I am fortunate to work in a global organization with a strong diversity culture. I know Christians all over the world as a consequence. And day in, day out, you know, I work in a multi-ethnic team coming from a wide range of religious experience and none, and people of different sexual orientations. We are a team and we work together effectively. Before Carol and I came to Chatham, as I mentioned earlier, we lived in Reading. Now, I worked in the Bracknell office of IHS Market, and I was based in the Capitol building. Now, I realize that a different Capitol building has been in the news for the wrong reasons recently. Often, you can feel isolated as a Christian in the workplace, and it's not easy to share your faith. You may find there that there are other Christians who feel likewise. In my own experience, through various business conversations, I got to know my colleagues, and I found that there was another Christian in that building. He, in turn, had found another. And we took this step to set up a prayer triplet to meet in the office on a Monday lunchtime. We met and prayed together, each with our different styles, from Anglican to Nigerian Pentecostal. We shared with colleagues that we met to pray, and we inquired whether there were any needs in the office for prayer, from sickness to family issues, etc. We soon found others wanting to come and join our prayer time, such that we got up to 12 people at one stage, and that was out of an overall team of 400 people. We were not known as the God Squad, but we were respected for our beliefs and we were trusted. We shared with many how our faith impacted our work and our motivation. People would come to confide in us and share their concerns. We gained people's trust, and you got the sense that the atmosphere of the office was changing. Even though the office faced some redundancy challenges with a reorganization, in some way, we became part of the infrastructure where people could come to us for help through prayer. It does show that just being a Christian presence in the workplace can make a difference. And prayer in the workplace can change the atmosphere for the better. To bring our time together to a close here, let's take a moment to reflect on our roles as disciples as we worship, hear God's word together as a community, even in a digital space, with a view that when we disperse, we are to be apostles and God's ambassadors in a wider world, real and digital. As in Peter's story, confidence takes time to develop and flourish. Peter experienced good times and challenging times on his life's journey, but grew in confidence from fisherman to spirit-inspired early church leader. Even people who want to remain in the background can also find that they too have a faith story, and they too can grow in confidence to share their faith. For the woman at the well, she was inspired by a life-changing experience, and so can we. Even in our workplace, where sharing our faith can be a challenge, it is also possible. With prayer and just being there as a Christian, it is remarkable how a workplace can be transformed for the better. Amen. Let us pray. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you for so many examples in Scripture of people who have been transformed through relationship with you. Thank you that people can grow in confidence like Peter, from fisherman to church leader. We thank you for people like the woman at the well, who are so enthused with meeting you and having their lives transformed that they just want to share it with others. And we pray, Lord, that today, by the power of your Holy Spirit, you'd make that change in us, enable us all to grow in confidence, whether it's a continual thing or an instantaneous thing, that we too, by the power of your Spirit, can make a difference. In your Son's name, amen.